Just a second. Okay. All right. Help me out on this one for sure, okay? All right, Miss Sandy. You play and we'll fly.
Okay.
Up the evening offering. You know that in verse 2, it says, like a bird from prison bars have flown. And I don't know if I can relate to that, but I know I have some hunting dogs, and when you stick them in a kennel, and they've been in that kennel for quite a few days, and you finally open that door, if you don't have a GPS collar on that dog, it's gone. I mean the second and the moment it knows you're getting to that door and you're going to open it, it goes nuts. And the second you open it, man, boom. And that's what he's talking about. Our mindset about this is that when we do get released from this world, that, I mean, it's no looking back. It's as fast as you can go out of here with no intention of ever returning. That's what the songwriter is saying when he's saying it. It's like a bird has been in a cage. And finally, that freedom is... See, we think we're free here, and we haven't even begun to taste freedom because we're not free. We're actually in bondage. We're a slave to sin. You know, and, you know, that penalty's been paid for, but we are still in bondage. Okay? But to finally have those chains drop forever, no more pull on you ever again, I have no idea what that feels like. Cannot wait, and believe me, it'll be like a bird getting out of Dodge saying, whew... You know, I mean, it'll be so fast to know there won't be any looking back. When that rapture happens, you're not going to look back to this world and, you know, regret that. You know, it'll be the beginning of forever. Okay, Brother Chris, if you'll lead us in prayer. Amen. Okay, let's sing on the last.
Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory.
For helping me. Okay, I think we have two specials this evening. Alexia, you can go first. Okay.
Sorry for you.
Each time I stop to take the time to look around me, I see the signs of His appearing everywhere. Things He said would come to pass are now before us, and I can feel the strange excitement in the air. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. And though I've been watching and I've been waiting, just any day now, His face I'll see. There's this longing in my heart for His appearing, and I'll gladly leave behind these trials here below. For this journey has been hard, and I'm so weary, but Lord, I feel much closer home. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. And I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, His face I'll see. Just any day now, His face I'll see.
I can't get this thing to anybody.
Lloyd threatened to take it away and hide it, and I said, please.
He still wouldn't.
Let me get the old man chair here.
Thank you, Lexi. That was a blessing. Kind of calmed me down. I need to get her sing for me all the time. That's kind of relaxing.
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. And then we went back to the house where I used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. I said, son, never fear. He got a new daddy. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore.
Thanks for sharing that with us this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, let's start off in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Mentioned this morning that we had some stuff from the school given to Africa. Quite a few laptops, some computers, some monitors, and some smart boards, and we need to get them boxed up and shipped over there. And if there's somebody that God's laid that on their heart, that would be, you don't have to do it yourself, but if you could just be a person that oversees it, and we'll put a group together to do that. And we'll also work on doing a crate for the orphanage at the same time so we can get it there in time for Christmas. You know, and I tell you what, Before I knew you guys, our first Christmas in Zambia, White Rock did that for us. They put a pretty big crate together. And, I mean, I'd been to this area and preached. At that time, I don't think that was my first go around over there. So I think on my second furlough, this church picked me up. And I remember White Rock opening that box. It was our first Christmas there. And it was funny. We smelled the air when you opened it. You know, I mean, it's hard to explain to you what that's like. Christmas is a pretty big family time, and to have it not even resemble anything, you know, over there. I mean, you couldn't tell that it's Christmas. We always say, well, you know, I'm trying to get in the Christmas mood. We'll try to do that when nobody, I mean, there's no Christmas tree in the bush, not a single. In fact, on Christmas, the only thing they give each other is they give each other an orange. That's more reminiscent of being alive in the 1920s, you know? But to open that box, and they stuck stuff in there that you can't get. Now, I'm not a big Oreo fan, but it's funny what you eat when you can't get anything. And one time I went in a grocery store and they had Oreos. I was so excited. Now, the wrapping was in Arabic, but I didn't care. It was an Oreo. I could tell it was an Oreo, you know, came from Dubai, you know. I ate those Oreos just simply because you don't get Oreos. And remember when the first ice cream store opened up there, actually you could buy ice cream. Maggie and I stood there and cried, you know, because it really felt a little bit at home. And I know that opening that box was a big deal. Well, then you take sending that to the orphans. And something very little on this side, as they open up each package and they know somebody cared about it, man, goes a long way, you know? And we do the shoebox thing as well, and that goes all over the world. I don't know what country it's going to this year. No doubt, you know, that's going to take a hit for sure because of this COVID thing, because everything else does. But it's an opportunity we can do, to let them know that we love them and be a blessing to Akam. I'll tell you, like, you give a guy an actual pair of work shoes there, man, they'll treasure that, you know, and hold on there, and it's actually a very useful thing for them. So, but we need to put those together so we can get them out of the parsonage and they're not sitting there. So if any guy would like to take on that project, then we'll put get some men together and help you get those boxes together, and then we'll have to take up an offering and cover it. Also, too, the same way with the Mission House, Betty and Terry are going to be working on a list of what we need to do to furnish that over there so that we can get it, so we can put missionaries in that, and that'll be coming up as well. Okay. Yeah. Well, so the shipment leaves every other month. I'll have to look and see which one we're on. I'm pretty sure it's in August. Now, it's been a little bit of time since I've personally done it, but I'm pretty sure it's in August. So it's coming up quick. You know, August, September, you certainly don't want to push it past September. Because they say 8 to 12 weeks, but with all this other stuff, it's better to do it now. Well, so it's in Boston, so there's one or two ways we can do it. If perchance they are coming through here, they'll actually pick it up. If not, we'll have to take it to Boston and put it on a ship there, and off it goes. That's probably the more secure way, but that's all the way in Boston. Those computers will be a huge blessing to them over there. They use it in school, and it'll be, you know, the pastors use it. We have a computer library. They can go there anytime and use the resources online. You know what, Frazier's our pastor. Do you know he listens to every service we have here? Isn't it funny? I mean, the guy, you know, if he has 10 pairs of clothes, it'd be 10 too many. But I help him every month to buy data for his phone. And he said he watched every single cowboy camp that we did. And he said, "Dave, you need to come here and do cowboy camp in Africa." And I said, "Well, get right on that tomorrow." But he knows you guys. And literally, he can say, I mean, I wish you could meet him. You would like him. You know, he's a good man. He'll listen to a message from here. And he's getting to know you guys and the names. You know, he'll say, Who's that lady that plays that funny guitar?" You know, talking about the ukulele. You know, that was, you know, so he watches and stays up with us. You know, he sent me every month now, without even asking, people have been kind to send Frazier a little extra. So I always make sure that gets to him. And he told me this time, he said, "Please tell whoever helps out, thank you." Because he uses that. He got his motorcycle fixed. You know, in that little village, he's the only person with any kind of vehicle. And there is another guy, but you have to pay him. And it's not cheap. So Frazier, all night long, he'll get calls. "Please, can you take me to the hospital? My daughter's sick." He'll load them up on a motorcycle. He'll take them off. You know, he does that all the time. So it's a real blessing. And he wanted me to tell you, thank you for doing that. Okay, well, let's get into this in Isaiah chapter 11. Father, thank you for this evening. And Lord, as we look in the Bible a little bit about trying to get familiar with somebody that we should know, because they are a part of the world we live down here, and that is your enemy. And Lord, as we endeavor to find out a little bit more about him, we also learn about a little bit more about ourselves and be a little bit more prepared for him. And Father, I pray that you'd peel back our minds and be able to see things for really the way they are. And Lord, like this morning's message, help us to retain it in a way that helps us in the days to come. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being so kind and forgiving in our lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. I said this morning, as a, you know, listening to people from anything from problems in their marriage to drugs to prodigals to, I mean, the stories over 30 years of helping people, the stories, and even in my own family, in my own life, always trying to figure out what's the silver bullet? What's the one thing that you can say to somebody? What's one verse that you can share with them that'll fix it? You know, how do we give people the relief that they need and the hope that they need for the problems of living in a sinful world? from the Bible. What can that be? If we can help just one person get out, then you can show an army how to get out. If one person can get victory over depression, and that one person can then lead an army to show everybody else how to get through the depression. If one person deals with a loss in their life, and God helps them get through that successfully, then that person can take what they've learned through that journey and turn around to help that. If a man can figure out, the regime they go through to keep your mind where it needs to be in this world, and you can turn around and then help other people do the very same thing. And part of that is to understand who the enemy is. In Isaiah chapter 14, we'll look at verse 12. The Bible says this: "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" So God has given us an insight. At one time, that Satan would be kind of like Judas in the New Testament. Judas ate with Jesus, walked with Jesus, appeared to be Jesus's friend, did things with Jesus, but we know he was not with the Lord. And given the opportunity, he turned his back. At one time in heaven, that you know, Jesus actually knew Lucifer before he was an enemy, because Lucifer served his father. Now, do you believe that all three existed before the dawn of the day? That this Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God were all present in heaven, even before Jesus was born. They all three were there. Jesus has always been. Now, he had not put on human flesh, okay? But he has always been. So he knew who Satan was. No doubt spent time with Lucifer as Lucifer served his father and served him, and just like Michael and Gabriel, had a special place in heaven, okay? And then it goes on to say, "Which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne." Now, when it says my throne, that gives you an indication that Satan had, at this time Lucifer, had a position. Okay? Just like, you know how vast the universe is. And I know Greg, he always tells me I'm this conspiracy theorist. But remember, I don't know how you account for a number of beings created that you can't number. Remember when they came and they announced the birth of Christ? What does it say filled the sky? A multitude. Okay? So there are millions and millions and millions of created beings that you can't number somewhere out there. Just like you have dominions here on earth and you have kingdoms, no doubt you have kingdoms of those things out there. And it appears in this verse right here, Satan had a throne, because look what it says here. It says, I will exalt my throne above heaven. To exalt his throne above heaven, that means he had a throne. That means he was over some part of eternity. Okay? That's what it means by that. He had a position. He had beings under him in that position. And in that position, in that quadrant, wherever he reigned, and his mind, he wanted to exalt his throne above God's throne. Well, to do that, you have to have a throne to begin with. Okay? And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, I don't know where the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north is. But that appears to be a place that belongs to God, that he inhabits, that he rules, and where his throne is. Okay? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, how did that happen? If he was a created being, how did that happen to where he could be like that? He lost sight of who God was and how he got where he was. The same path that leads you and I to do that today. So at that moment, when he actually thought that he could be better at God and doing what he was doing, he turned and changed sides and became the enemy of God. Okay? Now remember, Satan's not powerless. Why would you even begin to think you could accomplish that if you did not, in your mind, think that you had the ability in which to pull it off? Okay? He knows a lot more about God than we do because he actually lived in the presence of God. And in his mind, he thought that perhaps that there is a chance for him to actually unseat God himself. And it was a big enough deal that there was even a war in heaven. And remember, when you read that and I say there's a war, it wasn't, I mean, they actually fought, Greg. It was a battle. I mean, and when you read the angels going against demonic forces, whoa, that one angel was detained how many days? Why? Because the forces overpowered him, and who had to come to his aid? Michael the archangel came to his aid because he wasn't strong enough to hold him off. So actually, Michael the archangel had to come to his aid, or else he'd have lost that battle. Okay, so let's go on. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms? When we see him humbled, when God actually puts him in the lake of fire forever and ever, you're going to look at him and you're going to say, that's who it was? Okay, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down into the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under the feet. And it goes on and just talks about what his end is going to be. Now, from there, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 6. And all we're doing tonight, I don't know how far we're going to get in this, is I just want you to open up a little bit of our mind about who this is that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Okay? Chapter 6 in Genesis. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth. Now remember, I want you to remember something when you read. There's no random. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now he's going to explain why those giants got there. And also after, not before, after. After that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bare children to them, the same which became mighty men which were of old. And right after that, what do you have? You have in verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great. You got the destruction of the world because sin ran rampant. Now, what does that mean when it says the daughters? Look here in chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply, that the daughters were born unto them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. And again, it mentions this here in verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that the sons of God came unto the daughters of men. What is that? Now, I've heard theories and theologians have been trying to explain this. One of them is that those were demonic beings that actually had relationships with people. That's one thought. The other thought itself is angels having relationships with people. I don't know the answer to that. I will just tell you that when that happened, that after it was happened, because you got to look here in verse 5, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days after that happened. So because that offspring produced giants, we would have to say that there's a little bit more to it than just plain old people because of what it produced. Because it wanted you to know, after that happened, here's what took place. And then isn't it funny, after that happened, we have Noah and the whole, society went down so fast and on a downward spiral so fast that God had to destroy everybody because wickedness abounded. The only reason why I'm pointing this out is because as we get to know Satan a little bit more in the Bible, he's still very real. And do you know what's never changed? Satan and demons can possess people. Absolutely. Do you know Satan can look like a person? Do you know his demons can look like people? Do you know that his demons can actually possess a person and take over their body? Am I making that up? I mean, I can wear that out in the Bible up one end and down the other. Has that ever changed? Is there anything in the Bible that's given us any inclination that he can no longer do that? No. So around us, and the evil that's around us, and you read about the things that happen, could there not be demonic presence that look like people doing those things according to the Bible? Now, how comfortable are you knowing that your next door neighbor very well could? You know, maybe not in Scott County, as everybody knows, but we can't rule out that you've never come across a demon in a person's body. Now, no jokes, we've all got people that we could probably assign that to, correct? But can you rule that out? Can you rule out having come into face-to-face contact with a human that's not a human? Can you rule that out in the Bible? No, you can't. You can't rule that out. Okay? So the only reason why I'm pointing that out to is because what's around us and the evil that's around us is much bigger than us. It's much more involved than we think it's involved. But how do we actually treat that? Do you get up in the morning and look for the fact, is this really a person or is this somebody that the devil's using at this moment? Because now rest assured, that can't happen to a saved person. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You can't be possessed. Okay? That is only for somebody that does not belong to the Lord. They are free game. Remember, there's rules about what goes on out there that we only know a little bit about. One of the rules is this. Apparently, they have to get permission from the Lord to do certain things. Because when the demons were cast out of the maniac of Gadara, they asked permission to go into the pigs. It appears they have to have some kind of host on this earth. Whether it's an animal or a person, they have to have a host here on this earth. I mean, so why didn't God just say, okay, just go do whatever you're going to do? Because apparently they can't just wander around like that. Now, they're spiritual beings. You know, but, I mean, when you read that, you think, now, wait a minute. Do you think there are demonic influences in our world today? Yeah. Well, absolutely. Could you, now, I know you're going to think I'm nuts. Could there be somebody in leadership that's really not actually, that's a person, but is being dwelt by a demonic being? Well, sure. Absolutely. Now once you start thinking about that, but see, the devil don't want us to think like that. He doesn't want us to picture it like that. I mean, could it very well be the person that got abortion passed in the United States of America was really not a person acting just as a person? That it could actually be a demonic force inside of a human body doing those things? What proof do we have in the Bible that that can take place other than the demons? What did Satan do the night Jesus was crucified? What did he do? He entered into Judas. And God, now nobody else saw that, but Jesus saw that. He actually saw, because he can look into that world, and he actually saw that Satan himself overtook the body of Judas and used it and did. Now, why did he have to do that? Because I believe that Judas had just enough knowledge about God that Satan couldn't just simply count on the fact that he would do that on his own. He had to get in there and make sure he would do that. So what he said in his actions that he did, now Judas allowed that to happen through his thoughts and through his mind and the fact that he was not a real Christian. But at that moment, Satan came in and he wanted, and they can actually take over a person's actions. You know, when you see that and you see people and they say, we just can't hold on to them. You know, we try to arrest this person, and three and four, you see it, three and four men, and you're thinking, man, start hitting the gym, man. Three of you? What's wrong? Can't you hold him down? Well, no, not if there's a supernatural power inside that person. No, you're not going to hold him down. Furthermore, if those people walk among us, how careful should we be and how should we watch our thoughts and our minds and who we hang around, the stuff that we listen to, because we don't know where they're at. And we don't know what might seem friendly may not be friendly. For instance, in that Garden of Eden, there's Eve. When she saw that serpent, she didn't go take a stick and try to beat it out of the tree. I mean, she didn't look at that and go off running. You know, I mean, a lady today sees a spider, and if you're in her way, I mean, a little spider like this, she's going to run over you. You know, and here she is. She's in the garden. She's talking. That serpent did not look intimidating to her, but we know that was not a serpent. Again, things were different. She wasn't taken back by the fact that an animal is talking to her. Well, remember, that was pre-fall. Things were different. God came down to this earth every day and talked to them. So no, I guess it wouldn't be a big deal to have a conversation with an animal back then. She wasn't bothered by that. The snake didn't look like it was going to hurt her. And he talked somewhat kind to her, like he was interested in her well-being. And he began to twist what she thought. Well, how do we know that doesn't happen to me and you today? Are we above Eve? No. How do you know? Listen, truth is, everybody in this room at some time or the other has been under the influence of a thought from the devil. Absolutely. Now, that serpent didn't take over Eve, but it influenced her because she didn't recognize it for the enemy like she should have. The moment it began to go against what she was taught from God, at that moment, she should have recognized who it was. Okay, let's go a little bit further. I don't know how far we'll get on all this tonight. Go to 1 John chapter 3. If not, we'll just pick it up next Sunday. 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says this. Let's go to verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin, what does the Bible say? What's it say there? He that committeth sin is what? Of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. So if you do right, then you're from God. And verse 8, and look at how it says, let no man deceive you. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When the push for same-sex marriage came into the world, that was of the devil, because that goes against God. Do you understand how much of the devil is actually in this world? Anything that you see that opposes God is of the devil. We're swimming in evil everywhere. There are unfriendly adversaries on every corner, in literature, in music, in movies, and people that you might even think at that moment is a friend, but really might not be a friend. If you go to them and their advice that they give you is contrary to the word of God at that moment, they're not your friend. At that moment, they're deceiving you. And what they're telling you is not from God, it's from the devil. So how careful should we be living in that kind of world? How much should we look at things and analyze them and come up with some sort of test from the Bible that we can use to determine, is this actually really who it says it's supposed to be? Or is this a messenger of Satan inside of a human body trying to influence me? Well, and if you don't think that's possible, keeping this in mind, are there a lot of people in this world? But you can still number them, right? Remember, the heavenly host, you can't number them. The people on this planet can be numbered. So that means the population of those beings far exceed the population of human beings. So where are they? Well, they're in your government, okay? I mean, they're in every single time that somebody talks about evolution. You know what they're trying to do? Well, God's really not God. You just came here, you know. I mean, do you realize they actually believe that? There are scientific minds and people, even living in this community, that believe in evolution. Well, that flies contrary to the Bible, which means that's of the devil. That they're being influenced by the devil. Okay, let's go on just a little bit more. Let's go to John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Okay, so what do we know about murder in the beginning? What do we know about that? What's the first murder ever recorded in the Bible? Cain versus Abel. So we know that Abel was a believer. Was Cain a believer? No. What does it just say right here? He was a murderer from the beginning. So you know who that lets you know? Who is behind that murder? Now you thought it was Cain. Now he has to pay for it. Because he allowed himself to be used by the devil, but look who just took credit for that. I mean, what else in the world could that be talking about? The beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. Well, who else do we know that was murdered in the Bible or anywhere? Do we know what was the very first one? It was Cain and Abel. You're your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, so God is giving him the credit for that murder. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every time that we, just because we can't be possessed by the devil, does not mean you cannot be influenced by that. Okay? And it does not mean that you cannot believe a lie. You can look at something and the devil convince you it's really not all that bad, and behind it, it really is bad. I mean, he can tell you, I tell this, people come to me and they say, you know, there's just no hope for my marriage. Well, that's a lie. According to this, it's a lie. It's a lie. Because nobody's without hope. Now, it depends on whether or not you want to follow this, but that's a lie. Okay? You know how many times people believe that lie? I mean, the devil tells us all kinds of things. You know, the devil will tell you, you really won't, it's really not that bad if you do that. You really won't get in that much trouble. Well, where have we heard that before? Telling Eve, go ahead and eat it. Yeah, I ain't eating that. Well, why aren't you eating that? Because I don't want to die. Well, who told you you were going to die? You're not going to die. God just wants you, he doesn't want you to eat that because he's afraid that you'll be like him. So that's why he doesn't want you to eat that. And you're like, huh. Never thought about that angle before. What'd she do? She ate it. Because She believed him instead of God. Well, how many times do we do that? Which means at that moment, we're actually under the influence of the devil. Is that not a scary thing to think that he can actually control your thoughts? And what you're going to do because you're allowing him to influence you because we're not careful by being able to determine what's an enemy and what's not an enemy. That's a scary thing to think. If he was behind the murder of Cain or the murder of Abel, you know what he's also behind? Every sin that's ever done. He's behind that. Okay? Because he's got to do that. We wouldn't just simply just follow. I mean, if you could see Satan, you wouldn't follow him. You'd be like, no way. But he's got to change who he is so that we think we can believe him. Okay, let's just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. In verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. We'll go to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay, so here he's talking about that there are false teachers. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, he warns us here. Now, remember, Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, so he's warning them. And no marvel. You read that and go, whoa! And he says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He has the ability to pretend he's something that he's not. Then it goes on to say this, therefore, it is no great thing. If his ministers, who are those? Well, that's the one-third of a heavenly host that you can't number. Okay? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Whoa! Didn't tell me about that when I got saved. You know? I mean, he said, yes, false prophets can act like good prophets. He said, but that shouldn't shock you. He said, don't marvel at that. I mean, understand that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. And he says, so don't, no wonder that his ministers can do the same thing. Well, now, great, you have this innumerable host walking around that wants to destroy me and you, and I'm supposed to function in all of that? No wonder this is hard to do. No wonder that Christians fall every day. No wonder we're victims. Because it's hard for us to grasp that kind of world. Now, one more thing before you think I've just totally lost my mind. Let's see if I can find it here. I think it's Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Let me show you this, and then we'll close it down for tonight. We'll pick it up next Sunday. Job chapter 1. Remember, I told you from the beginning that it's very possible. Now, I'm not saying that I can tell you for sure that angels or demons had relationships with people, because it does say the sons of God, when they saw the daughters of men. Well, let me just read this to you, and you think about this for a later time. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And I'll just leave that with you, because that's what it says. Okay? Now, where have I heard that term before? The sons of God. Read it in Genesis. So now I'm reading it again, and I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. And then look who's right there with him. He's already at this point an enemy, because he's going to God and he's going to say, hey, Job only loves you because you take care of him. So at this point, it's already known that Satan would love to overthrow God. And it says here that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. So there's some sort of accountability for these beings. And at some point in time, they have to come before the Lord and give an account of what they're doing, right? And it says the sons of God came to present themselves, and Satan was among them. With all that, guys, much more hostile environment out there than we want to give it credit. Again, we're walking out there like, you know, let's leave it to Beaver days. Not if there's one third of an innumerable host that can embody human beings and lie to you. Are you comfortable with that? I mean, you could be texting a demon, right? I mean, you could actually have a conversation with a demon, somebody that is in the body of another human being that's not a believer. That's not changed. And that's, so with that being the fact, well, you don't need to be afraid of that. You just need to be aware of it. It's different than being afraid. It's like saying, the other day, I'll close with this. You know, have you seen on Facebook about that one where this police officer, they call you and they tell you, hey, it's the Social Security office, and they're speaking broken English, right? And they say, your Social Security card's been hijacked, and we're going to, okay. Well, I saw that one on Facebook where this lady played along. Well, one day I was in a car, and Maggie and I were driving, and I had nothing better to do, and I got one of those calls. And I thought, might as well have fun with this. So, you know, I did everything they told me, except I didn't give them my Social Security number. Okay? This whole time, they're like, do you know? And it's, I mean, this person's like from India. And it's like, hello, I know you don't work for the, but you know why they do that? Do you know why they call people's phones? And I mean, it's so broken English that it's pathetic. And it's like, and then they say, do you know your Social Security number's been taken? And if you don't do something now, you could go to jail? So, and you're like, no. And then you're like, well, here's what you need to do. And then they want your bank account. Do you know people do that? Do you know, unfortunately, older people will do that? And they get taken advantage of. Well, when I hear it, I go, I mean, come on, if you're going to do that, at least come up with a Southern accent or something. You know, I mean, you're like completely Indian, you know. And so I thought, I'm going to have fun with this. I played along with them all the way to the very end. And the language they used when they realized I was onto them was terrible. I mean, it was so funny. He was so mad at me because I called him out on it. And I said, the only thing I'm going to send to you is the number of the FBI. And boy, he got so mad. See, I wasn't afraid of him taking my money because I knew who he was. I never took him serious from the moment the phone call happened. I recognized it was an imposter. I understood that he was fake. And the only power he has over me was when I failed to notice that. Then you're going to give him your Social Security number. We don't need to be afraid of these things. We just need to be aware of them. That's all. We need to recognize that it's out there and quit walking around as though everybody's a friendly, because they're not. And if we'll do that, we'll question what people say. We'll look at them and we'll try the spirits and say, is this of God or is this of the devil? If it's of the devil, then I don't want it in my house, or I don't want it in my mind, and I don't want it influencing my kids. Because that's clearly coming from the enemy. 100% coming from the enemy. Acknowledge that. Call it what it is. And then it can't hurt you. You know, I mean, wouldn't it be great to walk up and, you know, I don't want to try that to a person and say, I know who you are. You're a demon. You know? Maybe don't let that come out of your mouth. But in your mind, you can say, I'm not listening to him. You're the enemy. And therefore, I call your bluff. The moment you do that and you call them out on who they are and who you are, they got to go. no more power over you once you identify them and say, no, I'm not believing that because that's not from God, that's from the devil. Or you get in troubles when you no longer can see that. Like David on top of that roof. I mean, behind the scenes, you don't think there was some demonic activity putting that whole thing together? Well, sure it was. Okay? And once we realize that, well, we got a whole lot better chance of being prepared for that. And that's only part one. We'll have to do part two next week. And don't let that, I know sometimes that people are like, why did you do that? You don't have to be afraid of them. Just be aware of them. Can't touch us. I mean, you know, it's so funny. There's these demons and they see Jesus and they say, please have mercy on us. They're begging. Boy, if they could jump sides right now, I bet you some of them would, you know, but it's impossible for them to do so, right? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Well, we get in trouble is if you could have peeled that face back on that snake and Eve could have seen who it was, she would have had no more conversations with that. That's what we got to do. Ask God to help us live in that. What we're trying to do is add another arsenal to here, because remember, it's not just simple willpower that you're going to beat the Satan this week. But if you take eternity and put it here and try to keep it there, and then if you take the enemy over here and plug it in over here and think, I need to think on these two things tomorrow. And those are the things that you're thinking about as you go through your day. That and some determination to do right, that'll help us. You'll look at things different tomorrow if you can remember this. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this evening, and thank you for giving us some in-depth look into who the enemy is. And Father, I know he's no match for you, and in that you fight for us. So we don't need to be afraid of it, but I'm sure that it's very sad to you to watch us being influenced so easily by this world, because we don't recognize it as it coming from the enemy. Father, I pray you'd help us this week. Pull back the veil from our eyes and let us see the world for really what it is. And one-third of an innumerable host of beings out there that's your enemy. And they have penetrated all kinds of elements of this world. And we need to be at the lookout for that. And I pray that you would help us. Thank you for giving us victory over that if we could only see and recognize them for who they are. We ask this in your precious name. Amen, and we'll see you Wednesday night.